All passengers flying with Global Air Force are now boarding at Gate 1.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. Have you heard the voice of God? In the Bible, men and women heard God's voice. In fact, in the book of Deuteronomy, as I see it, we are commanded to hear God's voice. Well, if it's commanded in the Bible and it happened in the Bible, then we must be able to hear God's voice today. Today, our guest teacher, the late Dr. Rebecca Brown, she's been a friend for many years, over 30 years, and she has had many adventures in serving God. She has gone way beyond the norm. Today, she's going to be teaching on hearing God's voice and her experience in making covenants with God. What a trip. Here she is, Dr. Rebecca Brown.
Hi, Jim. I'm so glad to be on your program today.
That's a real blessing.
But I went to a church, interestingly, fundamentalistic church, Dutch Christian Reformed church, but the pastor was an outcast because he'd received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so to punish him, they sent him to do a college ministry. And God sent me to his little congregation. It was a total divine appointment for the first time in my life. I heard someone talk about the fact that we serve a God who wants to talk to his people today just the same as he talked to the people all down through the pages of Scripture. I'd never heard such a thing. I was blown away. I said, am I hearing you right? Are you telling me that this great God, the creator of the whole universe and everything in it, is interested enough in little old me to want to talk to me? He said, that's right. I said, no. He said, yeah, that's right. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to know him personally. That's how interested he is in you. And for the first time in my life, I ran up against spirit-filled people who had a personal relationship with God, and I became so hungry. I wanted what they had. But this pastor taught us. He said, you know, he said, there are two covenants that every Christian on the face of this earth must initiate. The first covenant is when you make the choice that Jesus is going to be your Savior. You have to decide that. You initiate that covenant. But he said, Jesus is more than just your Savior. Jesus is God. And he will be the master over every area of your life. So he said, the second covenant is you must make a covenant to make Jesus the master over every area of your life. And being college students, he said, look, get a piece of paper. Write down a list. Am I going to finish college? Am I going to have a career? Will I be successful in my career? Where will I live? Will I get married? Will I have children? What will happen to my marriage? What will happen to my children? Will I ever make any money? Will I own a home? What will happen to my physical body? He challenged us. He said, are you willing for God to put you in an auto accident and you'd be paralyzed in a wheelchair all the rest of your life? Will you still serve him? He said, you've reached the point where you can no longer continue to grow spiritually until you enter into this covenant. Well, there was one area of my life I was not interested in God having anything to do with at all, and that was the area of marriage. By then, I was 26, going on 27 years old, flat out old maid. I wanted marriage and a family so bad, I would have dropped out of medical school in a flat minute if I could have had a husband and children. That's all I wanted. I was lonely, desperately lonely, unfulfilled. And I knew that if I gave God the mastership over that area of my life, he was going to mess with it. I knew it. But finally, my desire, my hunger to hear God's voice overcame my fear. And I sat down and I wrote out that list and I made Jesus the master over everything and I signed that covenant. And I just knew that God was going to hit me with a bolt of lightning and I was going to fall down on my face and speak in tongues. And what do you think happened? Nothing. absolutely nothing. And I was devastated. I went home for Christmas vacation in tears. I spent 2 weeks at my parents' house up in my bedroom in tears and fasting and crying and weeping and wailing and doing everything I could do to try and manipulate God to do a supernatural act in my life. I wanted to speak in tongues. And my poor parents, they knew I had lost my mind. And my mother used to come up and say, "Daughter, what is wrong with you? You don't understand. I have to have God speak to me." "Well, but he has all through the Bible." "No, that's not it. I know that's his word. But he has to speak to me, individually, me, me, me." She said, "Aren't you asking for a lot?" "Yes, but I can't have anything else. I can no longer continue to exist if God doesn't speak to me." They just shook their heads in despair. And finally, at the end of the vacation, I went back, and I'll never forget, I went into the pastor's office. Being college students, we were very informal. I sat pounding my fist on his desk, and I said, "Dan, I have to have God speak to me. I have to, I have to. I can no longer continue to live unless I experience God personally. And I did everything you told me to do. I made that covenant. I signed that covenant." He started laughing. He said, "Yes, and I'll bet you thought you were going to fall down on your face and speak in tongues." I said, "Of course I did. That's what happens in all the books you've been giving me to read." He said, "Ah, yes, but you just made God the master over how he chooses to work in your life. The scripture says, be filled with the Holy Spirit." He said, "Now get down on your knees and ask God to fill you as he chooses." I did. And within 2 weeks, I was a totally different person. Suddenly, the scriptures came alive. I will never forget the pure joy of reading God's word cover to cover for the first time in my life. And for the first time in my life, I understood what I was reading because the Holy Spirit was functioning in my life. I had such a hunger and thirst to pray, a hunger and thirst to read God's word. And then God started to speak to me. Well, during this period of time, my second semester of medical school, I ran into another young man who was a pastor there in a youth ministry. We started dating, and it wasn't long, and we were in love, and then we were going to get married. And my cup was full. I was so happy. Not only was God speaking to me, I was understanding his word. I was going to serve him all the days of my life, and now I was going to be married to a pastor. What could be better than that? The two of us were going to serve God together all the days of our life, and I was just absolutely overjoyed. And one night at 2:00 in the morning, the Lord woke me up from a sound sleep, and he spoke to me with crystal clarity, and he said, "It is not my will for you to marry this man." He said, "You are to call him up, and you are to sever the relationship and never see him again." I said, "But God, he's a pastor." He said, "It's not my will." I was so distraught, I didn't think I could survive without being married to this man. You know, the problem is, we think because we want something, it's surely God's will for us. You know, over and over and over again, people say to me, "Well, you know, I've prayed and asked God if this isn't his will, that he'll take away my desires." It doesn't work that way. You obey God in spite of your desires. I thought I would rather die than not be married to this man. I didn't think I could survive without his love. And I'll never forget that night. For several hours, I paced back and forth on the bridge across the Lafayette River in Lafayette, Indiana. It's a very deep, swift-flowing river. It was in the wintertime. I'm not a swimmer. And I debated jumping. I seriously considered suicide because I didn't think I could survive without it. And finally, after several hours, I remember I stopped on that bridge and I said to myself, "Well, Rebecca, you entered into a covenant making Jesus the master over every area of your life, and now he's calling your bluff. Which is it going to be? Is he going to be master or no?" And finally I said, "Okay, Lord, you're the master, I'm the servant." I went home, I called that young man. He started weeping and saying, "Oh no, Rebecca, you couldn't have heard from God, that was Satan." "No, that was God." "No, no, no, Rebecca, I know this isn't from God. Just give it some time." "No, I'm sorry, I must obey." You know, it wasn't until 6 years later that I found out that that young man was running around having sexual affairs with girls there on campus while he was engaged to me. If I'd have known that, that would have made the decision much easier. But God's purpose was to test me. God's going to test you. He's going to test you over every area of your covenant. Second year, I went down to Indianapolis. I'm a graduate from Indiana University. Second semester of the second year, this is a year later, I started attending a Bible study of Christian medical students. And it wasn't long, and I met another medical student. He was also studying to be a doctor, and he was a Christian, and we began to date. And it didn't take long, and I was in love. And we were going to get married. Wedding date was set. All the plans were going through. And I was so happy. This was better than a pastor. This was a doctor. We were going to practice medicine together. We were going to go on the mission field. We were going to heal people and bring them to Christ and serve the Lord all the days of our life. Oh, did we have big plans. We talked endlessly about what we were going to do together for the Lord. 3 weeks before the wedding, plans were made. Dress was purchased. Midnight, this guy calls me up. Rebecca, I just had the most powerful vision from God I've ever had in my entire life. And God told me that I'm in disobedience to him to be marrying you. And I told him I loved you. And he said, that's not enough. He said, if you try to go through with this, I will strike you dead at the altar before you can finish your vows. He said, so I'll not be marrying you. Do whatever you want to do with the wedding presents. Goodbye. Click. I said, God, I knew it. I knew you were going to mess with it. Lord, I need a husband. I never forget going and weeping and wailing to my mother and saying, doesn't God understand I need a husband? I need to be married. And finally, a month later, I mean, that's humiliating. We belong to a church of 1,000 people. Our wedding was going to be a very big deal, and God was so dirty, he turned around and forced me to continue to attend the church. I didn't want to ever set foot over that door again. And one day the Lord spoke to me, and he said, woman, I desire to make a covenant with you. Ask a stupid question. What other choice do I have? I said, but Lord, I'm asking you to give me a gift in return. Please give me the gift that you gave the Apostle Paul, the gift to remain single. I said, I don't see any sense in wasting so much time and energy being lonely and depressed. I would rather take all that energy and pour it into your service. And he said, it is done. I don't know what happened, but within another month, I was totally satisfied being single. From that day forward, I was never lonely or depressed about being single again. God utterly made it possible for me. Now, I thought that that covenant was for all the rest of my life. God didn't say that. As it turns out, it only was for 15 years. I graduated from medical school, began my studies in internal medicine and critical care, and I ran into Elaine, and the first book he came to set the captives free tells that story. Elaine is a woman who directly worshiped and served Satan for 17 years. She had even become a bride of Satan, and she'd finally accepted Christ, and God dumped her in my lap. And suddenly I was head over heels in spiritual warfare, face to face with demon spirits, running into other Satanists. The whole hospital was filled with people who were involved in the darkest of witchcraft and hardcore Satanism. And during that time, the Lord spoke to me. It was the second covenant he made with me. And he said, woman, I desire to enter into a covenant with you. I said, Lord, what is it? He said, I want you to give me permission to use you in any way that I choose as an instrument directly against Satan himself personally and his kingdom. Become world famous, but you will never come to know me personally as you would had you chosen this other road. I didn't know what to do. I went and talked to my pastor. I had a very good relationship with my pastor. He was a profound man of God. And I'll never forget sitting in his office, and he sat at his desk looking at me, and he said, Rebecca, don't do it. He said, it's too much suffering. It's too big. Don't enter into that covenant. He said, you're young now, but one day you'll be old, and the covenant will still apply. You have energy now, but in your old age, you won't have the energy to fight. Don't do it. And you know he's right. I never thought about that. You never think about getting old until you're there. And all of a sudden, one morning, you wake up and absolutely nothing works like it used to. Trust me, it's true. I just came across a psalm the other day where the Lord said, "Behold, I will be with you in your old age, just as I was with you in your young years." I said, "Yes, Lord, let me memorize that scripture verse." But you know what? I'm the servant. He's the master. There is no other choice. I entered into the covenant. I lost my medical practice. I was accused of practicing witchcraft rituals instead of medicine, and they revoked my license to practice medicine for 7 years. As soon as the bank found that out, they foreclosed on my mortgage, and I lost my home and my office, and I became a street person. From being a very busy practicing physician, suddenly I was on the streets. Let me tell you something, it's really hard to find a job when you have no address and no telephone. And what could I give for a work history? I couldn't go in and say, "Well, you know, for the last so-and-so years, I was a busy practicing physician, and now I'm nothing." No, no, that doesn't get you a job. Finally, I managed to find a job through a temporary secretarial agency as a minimum wage secretary for a fraudulent, shyster life insurance salesman. And, you know, the greatest joy of my life was leading people to Christ. During the years that I was in medical practice, there never was one day went by that I didn't lead at least one person to Jesus. And all of a sudden, there I was, without the ability to share the gospel with anybody. And I went into a very deep depression. Anger. I'll never forget one night I just reached the end of the line. I felt God had betrayed me. I had obeyed Him. I had gone out on a limb. I had obeyed everything He told me to do. I felt like I'd gone out a limb and He was the one that sawed the branch off so that I fell down into the gutter. I was so angry. I was so distressed. I just wanted to end it all. And that night I was living in the slums of a huge city. I didn't even have a pair of shoes. I lost my shoes somewhere. I walked the streets of that city barefoot through the most crime-ridden slums there were, hoping that someone would shoot me. And God the Father would come and He'd say, "Speak to me, child." And I'll say, "God, you betrayed me. I obeyed you. I obeyed you in everything. I went out on a limb and you sawed it off." And He'd get mad and I'd get mad. And we'd get nowhere. And I'd keep on walking. And He'd be quiet for a while. And then He'd speak to me again and say, "Speak to me." And we'd have the same go around and He'd get madder yet. I said, "I'm going to commit suicide." He said, "You do that. 10 seconds later, you'll be in hell. And you'll think you're in heaven right now." I said, "I don't care." He said, "You will." Total self-pity. All night long, this went on. It began to rain. I was soaking wet. Finally, as dawn was coming, I was sitting on the sidewalk, on the curb, with my feet in the gutter. They were all cut up by then, watching the muddy water and the garbage float around my toes as it went down the street. And a soft voice spoke to me again and said, "Speak to me, child." I said, "God, it's no use. I don't feel any different than I did." And He said, "But I, Jesus, I know. I know what it's like to be weak. I've been there." He said, "Life is hard. Are you wanting to break the covenant? Are you willing to still honor the covenant? What's your choice? If I never raise you up out of this gutter that you're sitting in, will you still serve me? If I never give you an opportunity to lead another person to Christ, will you still serve me? If I never restore a thing and you remain a street person all of your days, will you still serve me?" I'm telling you, don't let your ministry become your God. And then He threw into my mind that beautiful scripture verse in Hebrews, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's experienced everything that we have, yet was without sin. Therefore, let us come how? Boldly. Before that throne of grace to obtain mercy and help in our time of need." And I broke and I started to cry. And I realized that I had been wallowing in anger against God and self-pity. And I said, "Yes, Lord, I will keep the covenant. Even if I never go anywhere, even if I have to sit in this gutter for all the rest of my days, I will still serve you." I stayed in that gutter for one whole year. before God lifted me out. He took me to California. I ended up homeless again, on the streets. And then God got my first book published. He had called me just before I left for California, and he said, I want to put you into a worldwide ministry. Me? Sitting in the gutter in a worldwide ministry? This is hallucinations. Not me. I'm a failure. I can't do it. I can't even speak in tongues. You know, I'd been attending the little street ministries by then, and they all told me my problem was because I couldn't speak in tongues. And it was my fault that I couldn't speak in tongues because I was blocking the Holy Spirit. He said, I want to put you in a worldwide teaching ministry. I said, no, Lord, not me. I can't even speak in tongues. I'm blocking the Holy Spirit. If I get up and teach, I am accountable to you for every single word that I say. If the Holy Spirit can't speak through me, I'm not doing it. I said, fine, there's someone much better than me. And I remember one night I was laying on my bed and the Lord spoke to me so clearly and he said, child, come up here. And I was translated into the throne room of God. I had not meant to tell this, but the Lord is quickening to me that there's someone here that needs to hear this. And the holiness of God is so awesome. And I was on my face and I was weeping. And all of my faults and all of my failures were parading through my mind. And I was crying out and saying, God, send me back. I have no right to be here. Please, Lord, just send me back. And God the Father got up off his throne and he came down. He put a hand under either arm and he stood me on my feet. And he looked me in the eye and he said, child, sometimes you bore me. I was so shocked. I stopped crying. I said, well, I'm sorry. Excuse me. He said, shut up. He said, here you are, parading all your weaknesses and all your faults and all your failings before me. He said, I have no interest in that whatsoever. I'm interested in one thing only. That is your willingness to obey. He said, as long as you're willing to obey, I can do anything through you. He said, you know, there was only one perfect servant on earth. That's my son. I have no perfect servants. How freeing was that? Who do you know that isn't interested in your faults and your failings? Woo! People love to hear about your weaknesses. Then they gossip about it and they feel much better than you. But God isn't interested in them. He's interested in one thing only, your obedience. And he made a covenant with me that every time I stand up to speak, that the Holy Spirit would speak through me. Let me tell you something. In all the years of ministry since then, not once have I gotten up to speak without standing on that covenant. Not once. My first book was published. I was thrust into a worldwide ministry overnight. Second book was published. We had no concept as to what would happen with that book. Sold 1 million copies in the first year. 20 different languages within 3 years. Went around the world. The response was unbelievable. I had no concept as to what God was going to do with that. Second book published. Third book written. Getting ready to be published. I was satisfied, totally busy, traveling, ministering, working at Chick Publications, had a nice home, never less than 10 people living in my home that I was ministering to, doing personal counseling and deliverance, not a minute to spare anywhere. All of my time was in God's service. I'd go home at night, I'd be so exhausted, and I'd fall into bed and take my cat in my arms and say, oh God, you're so wise. Thank you so much that I don't have to mess with a man. I was totally satisfied to be without a husband. I had no time for a man. And one day God spoke to me. I'll never forget it. I was working in the back of Chick Publications to help pack up and order books to send out that nobody else wanted to do. And the Lord spoke to me and said, woman, what would you do if I told you I was releasing you from your covenant to remain single and commanded you to get married? I said, oh, no, Lord, don't do that. No, 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 no. That is not necessary. I am totally satisfied. I don't have time for a husband. Men are high maintenance. No, thank you. He said, prepare your heart. The day is coming when I am going to do that. A year later, one whole year later, God brought Daniel into my life. I couldn't stand him. I thought he was the biggest jerk on the face of this earth. The story is in Standing on the Rock. I'd known Daniel for only 10 days. And when my quiet time, the Lord spoke to me and he said, woman, have you prepared your heart? I said, prepared my heart for what? He said, I'm releasing you from your covenant to remain single, and I command you to marry this man. And being the spiritual woman that I was, I jumped to my feet and I said, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I was rebuking Satan and chasing demons and breaking curses and everything imaginable. It took 2 days for God to get through to me that he was commanding me to marry Daniel, who was a young baby Christian, not even civilized yet. Literally. From such a terrible background that you can't even imagine. And I said, but God, I don't love this man. He said, when have I commanded you to do anything based on your emotions? I demand obedience. I said, God, not this man. This is not your average Joe Blow off of the street. This man is high risk. This is high risk marriage, Lord. Very high risk. This man doesn't even know what marriage is. He's never really even experienced love. And you want me to marry him? And I'm in a full-time ministry? What am I going to do with him? Obedience. 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 That's the only answer I ever got. Finally, the Lord permitted someone to hire one of the top international assassins to come and kill me, and Daniel saved my life. He saved my life over and over again. Daniel's, just so you know, he's a general in the United States Air Force. He's been in special forces and everything else. That's why I said he wasn't civilized yet, because he was literally a fight going someplace to happen. None of that had been dealt with. He was very, very deep in the martial arts. He was one of the head martial artists in the nation. Top martial artist for the Air Force. And believe me, martial artists, they fight. That's all they do is fight. That's all they want to do is fight. So I at least began to trust him. My pastor came to me and said, you know, Rebecca, God is commanding you to do something, and if you disobey him, you'll regret it all the rest of your life. I said, okay, Bill, what is it that God's commanding me to do? He said, if you don't have sense enough to hear from God, I'm not going to tell you what it is. Finally, the day came, through a whole set of circumstances, when Daniel spoke to me. Now, God made Daniel fall in love with me. He did no such favor for me. And Daniel said to me, he said, Rebecca, I want to ask you a question. If God commands you to marry me, will you obey him? I was straight from the Holy Spirit, because that's all God had been talking to me about, was obedience. Nobody else knew that, and I certainly had never breathed a word about it to Daniel, because I was trying never to breathe a word to him under any circumstances. I was going to say, God, can't there even be any romance? And finally I said, well, you know, if God should happen to command me, in the unlikely prospect that God might happen to command me to marry you, you know I would have to obey him. Daniel said, well, so is he commanding you to marry me? I was trapped. Finally, I said, well, yes, as a matter of fact, he is. Daniel said, so what's the problem? Well, I could come up with a minimum of 10,000 problems. Daniel said, a simple yes or no will do. Will you obey God, yes or no? And do you know, the only time in my life when God hit me with his bolt of lightning was when I finally said, yes, I will obey God. I will marry you. In that instant, I was head over heels in love with that man that I couldn't stand 1 second previously. I don't know how God did it. He created us. He's quite able to manipulate us. Daniel and I were made one in that instant. It was incredible. And then he threw into my mind that beautiful scripture verse in Hebrews, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has experienced everything that we have, yet was without sin. Therefore, let us come how? Boldly. Before that throne of grace to obtain mercy and help in our time of need. Let us come how? Boldly. Before that throne of grace to obtain mercy and help in our time of need.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.